turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5, and then we'll be going to read one verse and then go to John chapter 14. In Luke chapter 5, I'd like to read verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Then in the book of John, chapter 14, John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, Jesus still speaking says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then in John chapter 15, verse 14, Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Notice each one of these verses speaks of obedience. In John 14 and verse 15, we see keeping the commandments is a manifestation of our love to the Lord. We see the same thing in verse 21. But there we are promised that we will be loved of God and he will manifest himself to those who obey, because they love him. And then in verse 23, we see basically the same thing again, that we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is, the one who loves the Lord and obeys the Lord, enjoys the presence of the Lord. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Showing that obedience is not dependent upon us knowing every single thing about the situation. Abraham went simply because God told him to go. Didn't even know where he was going. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of obedience. We see it, of course, all through the Word of God. Obedience is the act or habit of obeying. Now, in order to obey, there has to be a law. There has to be a command. So obedience is compliance to a command. But as you read the Scriptures, you see that it's really more than that. It's more than just complying to the command of God. It's complying to the command of God with the right spirit as well, because the Lord has much to say about our spirit of obedience. It's compliance to a prohibition. And again, you can comply to a prohibition, but still not truly be obedient because of a wrong spirit. But obedience implies a law, but not only that, it implies that we know the law. We are responsible. We are responsible to obey the laws of the land. Whether we know the laws of the land or not doesn't matter. You are responsible to obey. The same is true of God's law. We are responsible to obey. We are responsible to comply. Ignorance is not an excuse. In fact, you will give an account for your ignorance. Why are you ignorant? Why didn't you know? And so we say obedience implies a law. Obedience implies that we should know the law. So if we desire to be obedient, we must desire to know what God would have us to do. I do not understand how anybody who is saved cannot want to know what God would have them to do. And yet there are many today who profess salvation who get quite offended at the thought of what God would require. And again, this goes along with the thought this morning that God has a right. And that goes a long way. Realizing that goes a long way toward disobedience. But every day, there are two paths set before us. There is a path of obedience, and there is a path of disobedience. Now, there may be many bypaths that come off of these paths, but there are only two paths: to obey or to disobey. Notice in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, we'll read verses 26 through verse 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. Behold, I set before you this day. That's true every day. There is a blessing in obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. So that's disobedience. Disobedience is to turn aside from what God says. It is to go contrary to what God says. Doesn't matter why you did it. That doesn't matter. It is disobedience to go contrary to what God has said, to go out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. So there is a path of obedience. There is a path of disobedience. So I want to consider tonight the subject of obedience. First of all, we want to think about the authority for obedience. There has to be an authority for our obedience. Secondly, what is it that produces obedience? What are some of the prerequisites of obedience? And then thirdly, the kind of obedience that these prerequisites produce. And then lastly, the kind of life that results from obedience. Whether a person is lost or saved, they will be better off, even a lost man will be better off if he obeys the commands of God rather than disobey. His life will be better. Society will be better if man would just obey the commands of God. So what is the authority for obedience? Well, we saw that back in Luke chapter 5, in verse 5. Jesus told them in verse 4 to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. This really did not make a whole lot of sense. And Simon said, Master, We have toiled all the night, and we have caught nothing. So it's really not going to matter whether we cast out our net on the other side of the ship or not, but at thy word, we will let down our nets. In other words, it doesn't make sense to us, but because you said do it, we will. And three very important words there in Luke 5 and verse 5. And those three words are at thy word. That is our authority for obedience. That is all that you and I need. All that we need is to know that God said, do this. Or on the other side, that God said, do not do this. All we need is God's word. We do not need to take a survey. We do not need to take an opinion poll because it doesn't matter. We do not need to go back on past experience and figure it all out. All we need to know is, if God said it, do it. And if God said don't, then we don't. I mean, it's very simple. That is our rule of authority. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, he said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether unto sin, whether sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Again, there's only two ways. Sin, obedience, only two. And our authority to obey is God. That's all we need. And that's all any child of God should ever need. Is God said it. We don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make any sense to us. We may not be able to figure it out. It's not for you and I to figure it out. And the sooner that God's people will learn this lesson, that it's not for us to figure it out. All it is for you and I to do is to obey what God said. And if we would do that, there would be a blessing. So, the authority for a child of God's obedience is at thy word. 1 Kings 18, verse 36, Elijah upon Mount Carmel said unto the Lord, let it be known this day that I have done all these things. And by the way, what God told Elijah to do on Mount Carmel didn't make any sense. None at all. But he said, all these things I have done at your word. I have done exactly what you told me to do. That is all that Elijah needed. All he needed was to know what God wanted. And immediately Elijah was doing what God said. All of creation obeys God's word. The stars at thy word, the sun, the moon, everything at thy word obeys God. And that's why everything works so well, is because it all obeys God, and it's simply at thy word. We could learn a valuable lesson just looking at creation. Creation obeys the word of God. At his word, the whole universe is held together. At his word, the whole universe is sustained. At his word, kingdoms arise and empires flourish, and kingdoms and empires fall and crumble. All at his word. All God has to do is speak. That is brought out abundantly clear in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And everything worked because everything was in obedience to God's word. At thy word. That's the reason. That is the reason that Abraham left the place of his childhood. Simply because God told him to. That is the reason that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. That is the reason that Joshua led the children of Israel to march around Jericho. Simply because God said, do it. That's all they needed. And that is all that you and I need. But today we live in a day when folks want to figure it all out. Well, you sit down and you try to figure out how it makes any sense to capture a city by just going around it in silence 6 times and in 7 times. It doesn't make any sense. But that's not what obedience is about. Obedience is simply doing what God says. So at thy word, that should be the rule of God's people. In all aspects of our life, at thy word. Simply because God said it. Now, in order to obey, there are some things that we must have. There are some prerequisites to the kind of obedience that God requires. Faith, the Bible tells us, produces obedience. Again, in Hebrews 11, verse 8, one of the verses that we read for our text, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Now, there's many aspects of that faith. But by faith, Abraham obeyed. And people will not obey God until they believe Him. And the more faith you have, the more you will obey. And the more faith you will have, all God has to do is say it, and that's all you need. Why? Because you believe Him. You don't need God to prove Himself. He's already done that. You see, today, God tells us to do something, and we seem to think that God's got to give us, 27 different signs so that we know if He's really meaning it or if He's just kidding us. But faith believes just because God said it. That's all we need. If God tells us to do something, we're to believe Him, and we're to obey. Now, a failure to believe, of course, is disobedience. Unbelief is disobedience. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, we read of an evil heart of unbelief. And it's that evil heart of unbelief that leads to departing from the living God. It is that heart of unbelief that leads us to disobey God. So all departures from God are disobedience. And all departures of God have their root in unbelief. They all do. You look at any act of disobedience, and at the root of it all is unbelief. And unbelief and a failure to trust what God said. And how many times people have even come out and said it. Oh, I know what God says, but, in other words, I don't believe it. Or in other words, I have my doubts. And since I have my doubts, God made us responsible and I've got to do what makes sense. Well, in so doing, you disobey God. And your life would be much better if you would just take God at His word. That is a lesson that we have to learn every single day. Just take God at His word. And that's faith. So, faith produces obedience. Faith, we must believe. Going back to this morning's message, we must believe in God's right to command. And here lies the problem with many, is they simply do not believe that God has a right to tell them what to do. That God has a right to tell them how to live. So the first thing is we have to believe that God has a right to tell me what to do. God has a right to tell me where to go and how to get there. He has that right. He has the right to tell me to do whatever He pleases. We must believe that. But not only that, we must believe that all God's commands are right. That they're all just. And again, here lies the problem. Many, when it gets right down to it, they are afraid to obey God. They have more fear in obeying God than they do disobeying God. And the root of that is because they do not believe that God's command is right. What man tells them to do makes more sense. And they put more validity in man's commands because it makes more sense than God's commands. So we have to believe, no matter what the appearances are, we have to believe that whatever it is God is telling me to do is right. And whatever it is that God is telling me to do is best for me and best for my family. Oh, people have said to me, well, Brother Dan, I have to do what's best for my family. I'm glad to hear that because that means you're going to obey God. But that's usually not what they mean when they say that. But if you want to do what's best, you obey God. But you see, it gets right back to we have to believe. We have to believe that what God tells us, that's what is best. Abraham believed that it was best for him to leave everything he was familiar with and go somewhere he didn't know anything about. And he believed that was best. Why? Because he believed God. So it was by faith that Abraham believed. Now you try to explain that to your lost relatives when God is telling you to do something and you're going to obey and they want an explanation and the only explanation you can give is, God told me to do it. They think you've lost your mind. Many of God's people will think you've lost your mind. So there has to be a belief in God's right to command. There has to be a belief that whatever it is God is telling us to do or not to do. And if God tells me not to do something, He doesn't do that just to rob me of some fun. He doesn't do that to make my life miserable. He does it for my good every single time. Faith believes that. Faith knows that. We must also believe that it is our obligation to obey God. It's not up for debate. God doesn't tell us to do something or not to do something and then expects us to argue with Him and reason the thing out. It's not open for debate. And faith just simply believes God. And then believes that because God said it, I am obligated to obey. People say all the time, well, you know, I have obligations to my family. I realize that. But what you need to realize is your first obligation is always to God. Always. There's never an exception. Your first obligation is always to the Lord. So faith produces obedience. So if we want more obedience, we need more faith. Love produces obedience. In the verses that we read for our text, that is repeated throughout. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. That's not hard to understand what the Lord is saying. And then he goes on and he says in John 14, 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Now, if those two statements are true, John 14, 15 and John 14, 21, and they are, those two statements being true, then just the opposite of those two statements are true also. If keeping the commandments manifests love, then what does disobedience manifest? It manifests a lack of love or an absence of love. If we love Christ, we will live for Him. There is a mentality today, and it's very prevalent, that because I love the Lord, because I love the Lord's church, and I'm not living right, therefore it's my desire, because I love the Lord, and because I love the Lord's church, and because I love the Lord's people, it's my desire to have my name taken off the rolls. Now, I interpret that in a way that angers people. To me, what it's saying is, I'm living in sin. I want to continue living in sin and know that I can't, being a member of the church, so take my name off. That's the way I take it. Because if you love the Lord and you love God's people and you love the church and you don't want to harm any one of those three, there's a solution to that problem. Stop doing what you're doing. And that's the solution. Love obeys. But a lot of people today, they want to live like they please, and then when they're done, when they've had their fill, then we'll come back. It doesn't work that way. Love produces obedience. Personal affection will produce personal obedience. Love for the Lord will produce or will result in a sensitiveness toward the Lord and His ways. If you love God, yes, we all sin, but if we love the Lord, we're sensitive to the movings and the leadings and the convictions of the Spirit of God. And being sensitive of those things, we get right. Because we love the Lord. Love to the Lord will result in a hatred of sin. And all disobedience is sin. So we need faith to obey. Sometimes it requires more faith than at other times, but we still need faith to obey. And we need love to obey. So if we have this faith, we have this love. We believe that it's God's right to command us. We believe that it is whatever God says is best, and whatever God says is right. Then what kind of obedience are we to offer? It's to be immediate. If you believe God, you believe that everything God is telling you to do is right, or everything that God is telling you not to do is right, and you believe it's best for you, why would you delay? Why would you delay? There's only one reason that you and I delay, and that is because we do not believe. We do not fully believe that what God is telling us is right. Or it might be right, but it's not right for us. It might be right for someone else, but my situation is different. Don't you think God knows your situation? Obedience is to be immediate. The truth is, delayed obedience is disobedience. Every moment you delay is an act of disobedience. And you can say all you want to, well, I'm struggling with this. Yes, there's people that's been struggling with it for 3 and 4 years now. That's disobedience. That's all it is. And you can say, well, I'm really struggling with this one particular issue. It's disobedience. You either obey or you don't. So obedience is to be immediate. And that is something we ought to desire. It's something that ought to bother us about ourselves. That when God tells us to do something, we have to stop and think about it. We have to get on the phone and see what someone else thinks about it. That ought to bother us about ourselves. Because all we need is, God told me to do this. And you can find it, it's consistent with the Word of God, then obey. And it doesn't matter if anybody else approves. It doesn't matter if they agree. It doesn't matter at all. All that matters is that we obey. And that obedience should be immediate. Psalm 119, 60, the psalmist said, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. And that's something we need to learn every day. Not to linger. Remember Lot. He lingered. He knew he was supposed to leave. But he lingered. And he lingered. And he lingered. And Lot never would have left had not God brought him out. And that's true with you and I as well. Not only is obedience to be immediate, it's to be exact. People try to give God something other than what He asks for. We do this all the time. God tells us to do something. We don't particularly want to do it. So we do something else that we think will appease God in this matter. That's disobedience. And we do this all the time. We try to give something that God never asked for. We try to do something that God never told you to do. The Lord says, my son, give me your heart. And what does man try to do? Well, we'll give him ceremony. He didn't ask for ceremony. He asked for your heart. But you see, we try to give him something else. He asked for obedience, and man gives him man-made religion. And man calls that obedience. He asked for faith. He asked for love. And people offer him meaningless sacrifices. God doesn't want your sacrifices. In fact, the Lord said obedience is better than sacrifice. They will give everything except the one thing, what God wants, what God commands. It should not be our concern to do something notable. It should only be our concern to do exactly what God tells us to do. Well, I'm going to do such and such, and it really makes me feel good. That is not the barometer for obedience. It should be unquestioning, which goes along with being immediate. Again, Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went. Only thing he knew is what the God told him to go. Any lost man can obey God when he agrees. But it takes unquestioning obedience. Because we don't always agree. God tells us to do something and we don't always agree. Let's be honest. But you obey anyway. And you do so unquestioningly. Without asking any questions of God. Obedience is to be continuous. It's not just a one-time thing. It's something that we are to continually do, something that we are to continually strive for. It's to be willing. Jesus said in John 15 and 14, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." The Lord wants us to obey Him as a friend, with a friendly spirit. He doesn't want us to perform our duties out of fear of punishment. That's a miserable, as we've said many times before, that is a miserable way to live. And that is a misrepresentation of the goodness of God. I'm going to obey because if I don't, I know God's going to let me have it. That's not the right reason to obey. And God doesn't always just let us have it every time we disobey. If that were the case, we'd be getting it all the time. But we simply should obey. We ought to get to the point. I'm going to do what God says, and I want to. And I want to. Willing obedience. And then, of course, it's to be universal. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, a life of obedience results in a life of honor. The Lord said, again in John chapter 14, that if we obey, He will love us. I believe what that means is that we will have manifestations of the love of God. And we will have the enjoyment of the presence of the Lord. It has to offend God for you and I to persist in a life of disobedience. And then when things begin to unravel and things begin to fall apart, we ask God to help us, with no intention of obeying God. But we use God as a fire escape. Because now I'm in trouble. And we want God to help us. But we see a life of highest honor is to simply obey God. It should not be hard for you and I, though it is because of our flesh. It shouldn't be difficult to surrender to someone who has never made a mistake. He has never given wrong counsel. Never. And yet, people would rather submit or rather listen to somebody whose life is in a shambles. I have had people tell me, "Well, you know, my uncle or my nephew or my friend, he says such and such." Well, they've been married 8 times, but this is what he says. God never makes a mistake. Why don't you just listen to what he says? But people have a tendency, they would rather listen, rather submit, rather surrender, put more validity in the counsel of man than the counsel of God. To obey God is proof that we are His. When we obey God consistently, it is a mark that we are His. And it brings victory. If you want victory in your life, obey God. If you want courage in your life, obey God. Because when you obey God and it works and you just keep doing that, you get more and more and more courage all the time. If you want more assurance in your life, obey God. If you want to bring loss and defeat and dishonor and bondage and shame and misery into your life, then you do it your way. But if you want a life of honor, obey God. It works. It works for everybody to obey God. And then we see that a life of obedience is a life of communion with the Lord. John 14:23. It's a life of friendship. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And the Lord is the best friend. He is a friend beyond comparison. And when we obey Him, it is an act of friendship. We are His friends. I've had people tell me, well, I'm loyal to my friends. Well, that's good depending on who your friends are. But you don't have a better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that we ought to be loyal to. So it is an honor to obey. It bothers me greatly that there are many parents, some of them have already raised their children, but it terrified them at the thought that if we stress obedience too much to God, they're going to leave. They're going to get upset and they're going to leave the church. So they do just the opposite. Where are they? They left. And so many parents, well, you know, we want our kids. We don't want them to miss out on anything. As if the world has more to offer than God. Your kids aren't going to miss out on anything in obeying God. But I'll tell you, if they don't obey God, they're going to miss out. So we need to realize that obedience is a life of honor. It's an honor to obey God. It is an honor, it is a privilege to be put in a position to obey God. And every day, there is a road of obedience, there is a road of disobedience. Sometimes we come to a fork in that road, and we ought to always take the road of obedience. If it means that you'll lose your job, you'll get another one. If it means that your parents will forsake you, God will give you others. If it means that your brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about physical family relationship, it means they're going to desert you. God has promised He'll give you other brothers and sisters. You obey God. And it should not be something that we have to sit down and think about. It's clear. You obey or you disobey. Don't sell your soul. Don't sell your convictions for anything or for anybody or for any reason. You obey no matter what. You go in for a job interview and you let them know right up front, I'm a child of God. And God's service means more to me than this job or anything else. Nothing wrong with that. You say, well, you never get the job. I never did not get one. I told them that every single time. Obey God. Obey the Lord. The Lord will take care of you like you can't imagine. You just obey Him. You leave all the consequences. You leave all the results with the Lord. But we need to determine in our hearts and minds, I'm going to obey God. By God's grace, by God's help, I'm going to strive to obey the Lord. Sometimes that might mean that you stand all alone. It's usually not the case, but it may be. You may have to stand all alone in your family, but you obey the Lord. They may not understand, but you obey the Lord. They may make their accusations, but you obey the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you do that, your life will be better than you can imagine. Just obey the Lord. Teach your children, no matter what, no matter what the threat, no matter what the perceived circumstance results are, you obey God. You don't have to think about it, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told Nebuchadnezzar, King, we don't need to think about this. There's nothing to think about. We're going to obey God. And that's where we need to stand on every single issue. We're going to obey God. And oh, how much happier we would be. How much better our church would be. How much better our homes would be. How much better our individual lives would be if we would just obey God. I mean, if you look at our country and the mess, and it is a mess, it's all a result of disobedience. People refuse to obey God. The solutions to most of our problems are not that difficult. But it's pretty difficult when you're trying to do it every way but God's way. It's not going to work. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. All you and I can do is obey the Lord. And that's what we ought to strive, and that ought to be our desire all the time. Brother Larry, if you